The beautiful day today. Wow, wow. He's just getting us ready for snow next week. That's what I heard. Now, I'm not sure. Take the word of God, please turn to the book of Matthew chapter 25. The book of Matthew chapter 25. I'll tell you the truth, folks. I'm still just rejoicing over our revival. Rejoicing over Sunday morning and seeing Grace give her life to the Lord and see Brother Greg's niece, Jordan, rededicate. What a wonderful testimony she had, too. That was just precious. So we need to also lift them up in our prayers. And it's good to see you all. I've missed you since Sunday. I mean that with all of my heart. I love being here. I love being with you all. Tonight, what we're going to do, we've not ended or exhausted our study on the end time wars. I don't know when I started this, several weeks ago, a couple of months ago, several months ago, maybe now, but we could have gone on. We could have looked at the other wars that's going to be fought. There's going to be 9 of them, I believe, according to the way I understand the Word of God. Other people may disagree, and that's okay. But in one of our studies, somebody asked a question. It may have been my sister-in-law, Sharon. And it sparked a really great conversation in our study tonight. I mean, or that night. And it seemed like lots of people had interest. And it's just laid on my heart ever since to teach this lesson. And the title of it I want to do it on is this. It's real simple. How the millennial kingdom is populated. Y'all know how it is? Somebody's back here sitting. I'll guarantee you somebody's thinking, with people. Now, y'all didn't know I was a mind reader. I'm not, but I've got a spirit in me that talks. And they're going to talk. He's going to talk to y'all tonight, trying to go to sleep and act like it. No, I'm just kidding. It's just stirred my heart. It is with people, but what does that mean? And how is that? So, we're going to begin our study. It's going to be real simple. It won't take us long. It shouldn't anyway. Anything can get so involved and we can run so many rabbits. But I hope this is a blessing to you. It's been a blessing to me to read and study. And let me tell y'all something. I'm going to keep reiterating this time and time again. 2 things. Not everything you read on the internet is true. And we're living, friend, in a day when one of the marks of this day, the last days, is deception. Here's what I want to tell you. Look, I've been at this thing for a long time. In my 47th year in the ministry, I'll be 50 years in the Lord, old this coming April the 23rd. And it's not like that I'm not rooted and grounded and settled. But I'm telling you, when I begin to do some research and begin to read other people's ideas, listen, now here's why I'm saying this. They get so close to the truth, I think they are true. Until I realize they're not. Y'all understand what I'm saying? So be cautious. I mean be extremely cautious. Now look, you can believe anything you want. You can choose to believe anything you want. But I tell you what, let's make sure it comes from this book. Now there are good sources on the internet to do research, to follow people and to study after. But I'm telling you, pray, and check it out in this book. Have I heard me say this? Say amen. Now that's being a good shepherd. You hear me? Look, years ago, all you had to do when you were trying to discern is be able to recognize black and white and say, man, they're different. But things have gotten so bad in this day, black and white has come to an ugly gray, and I'll be John Brown if at times you can even distinguish the one from the other. They are so intermixed. Now, I had a preacher tell me one time, he said, the devil will never tell you the truth. And I'm thinking, the devil's lied to you, buddy, and got you to believe that, because he'll tell you enough truth to get you to swallow a lie. Okay? I can take you the book of Genesis and show you that. But Matthew chapter 25, I want to read several verses of scripture, then I'll set this up, tell you a little about it, and you probably know more about it than what I do. But as you all are looking, let me give you a report on Greta's brother. His name is Butch Lemon. He has lymphoma. It is not treatable. It is not curable. So Greta was happy, though, that when she asked him, "I got to know, are you saved?" He said, without a doubt, immediately, "Yes, I am." So he's happy. But lift Butch up in prayer. Pray for his family also. And they're going to try to figure out, I guess, how they're going to treat that. So pray for them. I'm going to begin reading in verse 31. Read down through and include verse 40. Maybe skip down and read a couple of verses late to the end of the chapter, but it doesn't really go with it. It just shows a grave contrast. Verse 31. "And when the Son of Man shall come in His glory." Now, when He's talking about this, He's talking about coming in His revelation. He's not talking about coming in the rapture when the church rises. I've read so many different ideas about the rapture this week, not researching on it, just coming across it in my studies. There's so many people that don't believe it's going to happen. Other people think it's going to happen in the middle part of the tribulation, and others think they're going through all. I feel sorry for them. That's like I used to live, not knowing that I was saved and going to heaven. Why in the world would a husband want to put his bride through all of that mess? Are y'all listening? He won't. He's going to save us from it, not out of it, but from it. We're going out of here before that mess begins, and everybody ought to say glory, hallelujah. I'm telling you. But He's coming in His revelation when every eye shall see Him. Revelation 1 and what? 7, I believe it is. 5 or 7. "And all the holy angels with Him. And then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations. He shall separate them one from another, and as a shepherd divideth his sheep and from the goats." And while I'm reading this, I'm aware of people that believe this is the final judgment. There are people that believe there is one resurrection and one judgment, and this is it, where everybody, all the nations, will stand before Him, saved and unsaved alike. He'll separate everybody as the sheep and the goats. And then eternity will start. Listen, when you don't rightly divide the Word of God, these are the kind of things that you come up with. I don't know how that got in there, but it did. "And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the King say unto them." See, He's coming back as a King, not as a Savior. Y'all are seeing this, right? The Word of God tells us lots of things if we just pay attention to it. "And shall say unto them on His right hand, Come, ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. And then shall the righteous answer Him, saying, Lord, when saw thee we an hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the King shall say or answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these My brethren, ye have done it unto Me." Who is He referring to in that phrase when He said unto these the least, My brethren? Who's He talking about? Exactly. He's talking about the nation of Israel. He came unto His own, first chapter of John, the Gospel according to John says, and His own received Him not. He was a Jew. He was of the lineage of David, the lineage of Abraham. He had a Jewish mother, a Jewish stepfather. It was prophesied to the Jews that He would come, the Messiah, and He came as a Jew. He was a Jew. He lived like a Jew. So He was a Jew. So He's talking about His brethren or the Jew. Now, let's set this up. This passage of Scripture is a part of what is known as the Olivet Discourse. And I know y'all know that, so please let me repeat. Maybe there's somebody in here that possibly doesn't know that. The Olivet Discourse started in verse 1 of chapter 24. It ends here in chapter 25 with verse 46 at the judgment of the nations. A judgment. Well, let me back up. Instead of saying this, what is chapter 24 about? Does anybody remember right off the hat when Jesus was answering questions of Peter, James, John, and Andrew, according to Mark, as they sat on Mount of Olives, looked over the Kedron Valley on to the Temple Mount at the temple, and he had just told them, look, there's going to be a day when all of the stones of that will be thrown down. They asked three questions. When shall this be? What shall be the signs of thy coming and of the end of the world? What is the context? What is the subject of Matthew chapter 24? The tribulation. Now listen to me. Chapter 24 and 25 are very Jewish. It's not to the church. It's not about the church. If you heard me say that, say amen. Now, there are things applicable to the church, truths in that, that the church ought to get. We ought to espouse these, proclaim these. We ought to understand them. But we've got to understand, if we ever learn to rightly divide the Word of God, the importance of context. So, as chapter 24 ends, chapter 25 begins, but, though there's a break in our Bible, and I'm glad for these chapters and these verses that helps us find something in the Word of God quickly so we can all be on the same page at the same place. It doesn't break the thought. Y'all got that? Jesus is still speaking to Peter, James, John, and Andrew, answering questions, and he expands just a little bit. Now, in this 25th chapter, he offers up a parable. I think it's the parable of the 10 virgins and a couple other things. But here in this passage, this is happening at the end of the tribulation. After the 7-year time of God bringing judgment upon planet Earth and especially upon the nation of Israel, this 7-year period of time in the book of Jeremiah 30, about verse 3, 4, 5, 6, or 7, early in that chapter, it is known as the time of Jacob's trouble. What do you women have before you have a child? Trouble, right? Now look at me. Hey, all you ladies, look up here. Every lady, look up here. I know I'm not real handsome, but I want you to look at me because I'm handsome. I got news for you. It's not Adam's fault. Try me and see if I don't have the answer. But along about 3:30 in the morning, Debbie looked at me and looked like she could kill me. And I thought, oh girl, I'm not the only one in this. I'm not the only one who got you in this mess. But it's because of Eve's disobedience that God said unto the woman, your birth pains are going to multiply. Now I think you would have known when you're going to have a baby, but I don't think they would have been as terrible. Any of y'all in here got a child, say amen. You women, not you men, you women. I'm talking to y'all. Any of y'all ever give birth to a child, say amen. Well, after they got up and grown, did you ever, if you did, I want you to be woman enough to say amen. Did you ever tell them, look, I went through the valley of death to get you here and I can take you back to take you out. Amen. Well, there's an honest one, at least in the bunch. So anyway. This judgment is happening at the end of the tribulation, just days before the beginning of the millennial, the onset of the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ. And it happens, I believe, following the battle of Armageddon. I'm really trying to find the route Jesus is going to take from heaven, from Armageddon to Jerusalem. He's gotta go down to Bozrah. I know his feet are going to stand again on the Mount of Olives, and I know he's going to whoop up all the armies of the nations of the earth led by Satan at Armageddon. I'm still working on it. I'll get some light on it eventually to make me satisfied at least with my convictions. But after he does all that, he's going to gather the nations to what is most commonly accepted as a place called the Valley of Jehoshaphat. Now, where is the Valley of Jehoshaphat? Now, you've probably got an idea. I've got an idea. My idea is just as good as yours. Yours is just as good as mine. I still believe, and it's not a valley you can find yet. They refer to the Kedron Valley, the valley between Mount Olives and Mount Moriah, as the valley of Jehoshaphat. But I believe there's going to be a valley created. When Christ touches down on Mount Olivet, there's going to be an earthquake. It's going to separate from the north to the south, maybe, and a great valley is going to be made there. Now, traditionally, that's where the Valley of Jehoshaphat is going to be. That's where many, many, many theologians and Bible scholars believe that Jesus will set up His throne. And from that place, all the nations of the earth will be judged. The ones that are goat nations will be cast into hell to the flames. And the ones that are sheep will enter in to the millennial kingdom. Questions? Comments? Now see, I wondered, you know, if Jesus is going to whoop up on all those people at Armageddon, how is He going to judge the nations in Jehoshaphat? Well, the answer came. It's amazing when you pray and wonder and think, seek God's face, what happens. The armies of the nations of the world are going to get whooped up there, but the armies are not all the people in a nation. Y'all got that? So this is going to be an amazing judgment. Now, let me say something about these people. Y'all know who Corrie Ten Boom is, I guess, right? And y'all know the history of her family, how that they housed Jews, in the World War II era, and all the problems that got. Betsy died in one of the concentration camps, and Corrie Ten, you know, she lived, and is she still living, by the way? Does anybody know she's passed? Okay, I couldn't remember. What an amazing testimony she had. I thought she was dead, but I could not remember. Well, there's going to be a lot of people on planet Earth that's going to give the Jews the similar kind of care as the Ten Boom family did. They're going to house them, going to feed them, they're going to give them drink, they're going to love them, they're going to visit, they're going to minister to them. Now, I believe to kind of do that, I'll be honest with you, I believe you have to be saved. Now, this is what I'm going to say. There's going to be a great revival in the tribulation. Do y'all know that? There's going to be a bunch of people. In fact, John said that there is a number of people that come out of great tribulation that cannot be numbered. There's going to be a bunch. There's going to be a bunch. And they're going to minister to the Jews. And let me tell you all something. Jesus says in chapter 24, verse 21, "And there shall be great tribulation, such as not was before, nor neither shall be hereafter." There are a lot of theologians. I'm not one of them. I am a theologian, and so are you. So are you, if you don't have a degree. How many of you in your studies after the things of God say amen? Therefore, you are a theologian. There are a lot of theologians that don't believe what I'm going to tell you. They believe that the first 3.5 years of the tribulation are going to be a kind of a cakewalk. And then the last 3.5 years are going to be all hell breaks loose. Well, let me tell you something. If I understand the first 3.5 years and the 6 sealed judgments that are opening up, it's going to start with war. There's going to be death. There's going to be famine. It's going to be a bad time. It's going to be a great tribulation all the way through. 7 years of it. But here is where we can apply, without question, a time when it's going to be greater for some people than others. For the first 3.5 years, there's going to be something happens in relation to the Jew. Anybody want to tell us what it is? The Antichrist will what? Make a covenant with them. A covenant of peace. He'll protect them. They will build a temple on Mount Moriah. They will offer up sacrifices again. And he will provide them a great degree of protection. But at the midpoint, 3.5 years, He's going to enter into the temple, declare Himself that He is God, and He is going to let loose the greatest expression of anti-Semitism this world has ever known. It is embarrassing in America what's going on against Israel. Say amen. It's pathetic when our president threatens and tries to tell another sovereign nation what they can do and cannot do to defend themselves and defeat their enemy. And we better pray some way that God gets in the hearts and the minds of people to keep them from withholding funds. How can He send the billions of dollars to Iran that He does and hold back funds from Israel? Somebody answer me that with a logical, acceptable answer. Nobody can do that. When that Mr. Herr said what he did yesterday about him and all of those papers that he took home and he knew it and even shared with his ghostwriter that got Trump in all the trouble but didn't touch him or Miss Hillary Clinton. Y'all do know what I'm talking about, don't you? Even Herr said he wasn't stable mentally. It's no excuse. Okay? If he's not stable, get him out of the White House. Okay? I've not said a lot about politics in a long time. That made me feel pretty good. Amen. I believe that's why our nation's in the trouble it is politically. Too many pulpits have been far too quiet. But we need to pray that. So anti-Semitism is going to break out to the degree that the nation of Israel is going to flee to Petra. I don't think all of them will flee to Petra, to be honest with you, but the majority of them will. God's always dealt with the remnant. So here's the deal. I'm going to cut this. I'm going to get it done in 10 minutes, I think. The kind of people that are going into the millennium are going to be these kind of people. They're going to be people that are alive at the end of the tribulation that are saved. Now let me say this. No unsaved person will enter into the millennial kingdom. If you heard me say that, say amen. They will be saved people. There will be both Jew and Gentile that are saved during the tribulation. And it will be those two groups that are living here on planet Earth that are living in mortal bodies that will enter in to the kingdom. No. Yeah, go ahead. I love doing that. Shocks people when I say no. If you'll hold on, I'll answer your question. And then if I didn't answer it, you throw something. No, don't throw anything at me. Lord, I've been in churches, if I give somebody that privilege, they would, trust me. So they're going to enter into the millennium. Now listen to this. They're going to enter in with mortal bodies. They are going to reproduce. They're going to have babies. In fact, turn with me really, really quick. Let's do some quick finger work to the book of Revelation chapter 20. And I want to... Fiddlesticks. Where is it at? Well, I know it's right before me. I do this all the time. Somebody look in that and see if there's some place that it says that they will be like the sands of the sea. It may not be Revelation 20, but is it? Oh, thank you. See, I do that. I go blind up here sometime. Not literally, but figuratively. I mean, I know something's there and I cannot see it to save me. Look at this. It might be about verse 7. When the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather together them to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. There is going to be a great population explosion in that 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ. Now listen to what I'm going to tell you. Those children that Jew and Gentile produce, because they're in their mortal body, they're saved, but they're still possessed with a sin nature. The only kind of children that they could produce is the kind we produce, our parents produced, is sinners needing to be saved by grace. If everybody getting it, say amen. So those will be sinners. They'll live in a day when righteousness covers the earth as the water covers the sea. And they'll live under a time of great prosperity. They'll know Jesus. They'll be able to see Him. I mean, to tell you, it'll be a marvelous time when no war will be. But they'll reject Christ. You know why? Anybody know why? Because the heart of man is deceitful and desperately wicked. Man is at enmity with God. Man is in rebellion against God. So even in a perfect period of time, over an extended period of time, God's going to take away the excuse for man that He would use and say, but if I had a time where it would have been perfect and no war on planet Earth and peace would abound and prosperity, I would have trusted You. He's going to prove them to be a liar. That's the only way anybody's ever been saved is by grace. Not all of them. There's going to be a multitude that'll follow Satan in his rebellion at the second battle of Gog and Magog. Just because they're born as sinners, and it's not enough, they've got to be born again. So just because they're born in the millennial time, doesn't mean they're saved. You follow me? They've got to repent and trust Christ like everybody else has. Got me? Exactly. Exactly. And that's why Jesus is going to rule with a rod of iron. When any kind of rebellion or sin rises up, it's going to be taken care of immediately. Immediately. So, there is Jew and Gentile in mortal bodies. Who else is going to be there? Well, we are. See, I'm watching too many preachers on YouTube. You know what I came Asa doing? Turn to your neighbor and look at him and say, I am. So don't y'all do that. Please don't do that. God, where'd that temptation come from? Ooh, Lord, I'm going to go home and repent. I feel kind of dirty after that now. We're going to be there. In chapter 19, we don't have time to turn to these. Chapter 19 of the book of the Revelation, we see Jesus coming back riding on a white horse, leading the armies of heaven. He is dressed in garments that are stained with blood. Out of his mouth goes a sharp, two-edged sword. On his thighs is written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. On his vesture, you all know the picture. Who's following him? We are. What's he going to come to do? He's going to come to do what Gabriel told Mary. I'm excited right now if y'all can't tell. He's going to come to do exactly what Gabriel told Mary in Luke 1 and 32. You're going to have a son. He's going to be a holy thing. He's going to sit upon the throne of his father David. And he's going to rule over a kingdom. Now let me ask y'all something. Where did David have his throne set up? So where do you think Jesus is going to sit on a throne and rule for 1,000 years? Y'all passed the test. He's going to rule. And guess what? We're going to be married to Him, the beginning of chapter 19. And I know of no groom, unless they were going off to war, that ever went on a honeymoon by themselves. If they did, they were a fool. I'll just tell you. So where he's at, we're going to be there. Right? We're going to be with him. Now listen. See, I read a lot the last couple of days, and a lot of people think that new city that John saw coming down out of heaven in chapter 21, verse 1, will be the place where the church abides during the millennial. Watch my head. No, it won't. You see, if we look at Revelation as it's laid out in a very orderly fashion, that new city, Jerusalem, doesn't come down until the tribulation ends and eternity begins. And look, I can prove it to you. I've got scripture and I'm going to show it to you. That Christ is going to reign here on earth and so are we. Chapter 5 of the book of Revelation, really quick. I give you another one over there in chapter 20 of Revelation. Look here at chapter 5. I believe it's verse 10. Let me read verse 8, 9, and 10 to go with it. I know we're running late. And when he had taken the book, the four elders and 420 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps, golden vials, full of odors, which are prayers of the saints. They sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seal thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood, out of every kindred, tongue, nation, and people, and hast made unto us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign. Where? See, we just need to let the Word of God speak. So we're going to be here with Him. Now, we're going to be here in glorified bodies. They're going to be here in mortal bodies. Let me add something else to you. At the end of the tribulation, the Old Testament saints are going to rise. The martyred saints in the tribulation will rise. They'll have glorified bodies, and they too will enter into the millennial. Now, somebody says, well, how can that be? Well, you'll have to ask somebody that's got a higher pay grade than me, and that's God. That's just the way the Word of God teaches it. Go with me really, really quick. Where do I want to go? Let me get it back in my head. The book of Matthew chapter 17, and we'll look at verse 2 or 3 verses there. Oh, please pray that the clock would stop a minute. Chapter 17 of the book of Matthew. This is a record of the transfiguration of Jesus Christ. I'm going to read quickly. And after 6 days at verse 1, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringing them up into the high mountain apart. I believe that mountain was Mount Hermon with all my heart. I believe I could take the scripture and kind of prove it to you. And was transfigured before them. His face did shine as the sun. His raiment was white as the snow. Now this is a picture of the kingdom in miniature. Okay? Jesus is here. The law and the prophets are there. Moses and Elias, the Old Testament, and the saints and Peter, James, and John were there. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elias talking with him. What kind of body did they have? It wasn't mortal, was it? They had already died. Some kind of, I think, intermediate body. They didn't have their new glorified body yet at this time. And then Peter, and they were talking, so I want to end it right there. There they were on the Mount of Transfiguration. Jesus in all His glory, and I believe He'll have it in the millennial, don't y'all? It's what Ezekiel tells us. We're going to be there in mortal bodies. The Old Testament saint, the Jew and Gentile coming through tribulation will be there in mortal bodies. The Old Testament saints that got up at the end of the tribulation will be there like us in glorified bodies. So if it happened then, why couldn't it happen then? One more place and we'll quit. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Acts chapter 1. Look at this. First 3 verses, chapter 1. I'm going to read while you're turning. The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach in the day in which He was taken up, after that He through the Holy Ghost had given commandment unto them, unto the apostles whom He had chosen, to whom also He shewed Himself alive after His passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. You know what? It worked for Him for 40 days. In a glorified body, proving that He was the Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God, the virgin born, crucified, buried, and resurrected Savior. I can't explain it, but I can proclaim it, and that's all God's called me to do. Come on, Judy.